T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We see what they're capable of. Their guys are really good offensively and aggressive. They can put you in a lot of twisting and compromising positions, but that's been a quality of our group the entire season, just to continue to persevere, try to get better, learn from games, whether we win or lose. It was a tough loss, you know, last night, but we got right back to work in our team meeting and walk through this morning to prep, and a lot of guys stepped up. This couldn't be two or three guys playing well. You were going to need several guys playing well and doing it over the course of 48 minutes.
That was Eric Spoelstra, another resilient Heat performance, man. They came out last night, great energy, confidence, a lot of guys, Hero, Robinson, Bam, just great stuff across the board. We don't even talk about Olynyk, and he has been really, really good. My God, his game, I know he's not the fastest, most athletic guy in the league, but he knocks down shots, makes passes. They're a fun team to watch. We're going to get into this morning, this East right now, after we've had a few games now since we've come back and started this thing back up, and obviously a different place in the bubble. And boy, I'll tell you what, I really think, without sounding like a homer here first thing in the morning, the Heat are going to have a really, really good chance. Not outside chance. I think they have a really good chance to come out of the East. I'm not saying they're going to win it all or anything like that after a couple of games, but boy, they were fun to watch, man. You wonder how they bounce back and find out Jimmy Butler wasn't going to play, and they just went, hey, we played without Jimmy before, man. We beat Milwaukee without Jimmy. We're fine. We'll go about. So anyway, Milwaukee's next up as we continue on here. What a crazy night, though. A lot of stuff, some good, some bad. Bad for the Panthers. And a great story late last night. Marlins, who haven't played in 8 days, come back with, you're like, what's this group going to look like? Who's going to play? I wasn't even sure who tested positive and negative. Hit a couple of home runs. Pablo Lopez pitched his ass off for 5 innings, 7 strikes. And they shut out the Orioles late last night. So, a lot of crazy stuff going on there, fellas, as we've been waiting to have a lot of actual X's and O's to talk about.
Right. Good day of sports, especially locally. Stinks for the Panthers because now they're down 0-2, and who knows what's going to end up happening there. These two other teams.
It's not good. Who knows, right. But it ain't good.
It ain't good, right. The Marlins last night was a little bit of the breath of fresh air. You didn't know what to expect, especially, about an hour and a half before the game, when you didn't even know if they were going to be able to play and start on time because they were still awaiting tests to come back, and you were kind of following that on social media. And the Heat, I think you're right on the Heat. I think it's a lot closer to flip a coin, kind of, that the Bucks just don't look like the world beaters they were. I know that we're only a couple games into this restart, so you can't really, you know, go off a limb here, but like the Bucks, the Celtics, and the Raptors are the three teams on top of the Heat. Are you deathly afraid of either one of those or any of those three teams when it comes to a 7-game series with the Heat? Because I'm not. I don't know if they could, you know, fully come out of the East, but it sure looks a lot different now with the Heat at full strength and everyone else kind of just getting back to normal, that the Heat are a viable candidate in this Eastern Conference. It's not even a question anymore.
I would not be surprised if any of the four, right?
Right.
I think you guys agree. Any of the top four, I think the rest of them are all fake.
Right.
Just have too many problems. But the top four, Greek Freak's the best player of the top four. And I agree. That's not even up for debate. What's his supporting cast going to be like? And all those things. Last night they rested all their stars in the second half. If you get up this morning, hopefully you didn't bet on that game.
Oh my God.
Because Milwaukee was an 18.5-point favorite over Brooklyn last night, and Milwaukee plays everybody in the second half. And Greek Freak, Middleton, and Lopez don't play in the second half. And not only did they cover, Brooklyn won won the friggin' game. 18.5-point. Boy, some people in Vegas, this is why, betting on games, like, really, where the hell did that come from? All of a sudden, you rest your three best players last night, let them play and tease everybody in the first half, and shut them down in the second. So, I'm sure a lot of people, either with their friendly bookie in the neighborhood or Vegas, weren't real fired up about that game.
Or if you were crazy enough to think that the Nets had a chance before the game and took the 19 points or took them straight up, you obviously... It was the biggest upset point spread-wise, Joe, since 1993. The Seattle Supersonics were a 19.5-point underdog to the Dallas Mavericks on April 4th, 1993, and they ended up winning that game.
God.
That is a long time and a lot of point spreads. For this to look, this is like the Patriots a couple years ago when they were double-digit favorites over everybody and they covered all those games. You just thought the Bucks would just cover this. Brooklyn Nets are just, it looks like they have their, you know, junior varsity team out there at certain points. All their guys are missing.
Listen, man, I mean, as soon as they're three, I don't know how deep Milwaukee is, but...
Obviously not that deep, right.
Those three guys don't play in the second half, and I'm watching in the fourth going, well, he's going to put him back in this tight ball game and let him finish it out. And I was like, wow, he's going with guys I've never heard of before to finish this thing out. So that ended up happening. The Panthers now down 2-0 after a little teaser, up 2-1, and then Panthers give up three goals in the second period. Another one in the fourth, end up losing 4-2. They're now down 2-0 in a best of five where – That's got to be real demoralizing after going up 1-0 and 2-1 yesterday that they got big, big problems right now. And then the third story, the one you talked about a little bit last night, I thought at first I go, it's a rain delay. And they go, no, it's a coronavirus test delay.
Right.
Waiting on the test last night and get that win. 8 days off. And come back, and that had to be for Mattingly. He had to be sitting there going, what is this going to look like? Guys have basically got a week off, well, more than a week, and end up hitting a couple home runs and got great pitching across the board against the Baltimore team that had just swept Tampa Bay, and nice stuff going on there. So we had a lot of stuff going on as far as actual sports. Got a lot of other stuff going on, news in the National Football League. Cordray Tankersley was released. I'm actually surprised it didn't happen earlier. I'm really not. Didn't think he could play. And the last time we saw him in a preseason game, he got picked on in a preseason game and just got smoked on comebacks and takeoffs and everything else, and I was like, a preseason game.
Yeah,
this is right. Not good. So he was released, former third round pick in 2017. And then the other news coming out, the Dolphins had their first opt out with opt out date tomorrow. Whether you're gonna do it or not, you have to have it in by tomorrow. Allen Hurns, wide receiver, has decided to opt out. For the birth of his son and didn't feel comfortable with the whole thing. So, again, that's your right. We've seen it. I have no problem. I'm a big Allen Hurns fan. The guy didn't get drafted. What he's overcome to what he's been able to do in Jacksonville, Dallas, and coming off his 32 catches and 416 yards and a couple of touchdowns last year as a fourth receiver. Probably going to have a really good chance to be on this football team again. He's still a young guy, but he's decided to to opt out. And with it, you know, again, I understand. I do. Every guy's got this right. But Paul, I'll tell you what. I guess these guys all know. And listen, Allen Hurns made some money. It's not like he got himself a nice contract in Jacksonville after a really good season. But boy, you've only got limited years to make right. that money. And the other thing I'd always worry about, I know I'm very insecure, is if you ain't playing, somebody else is. And if they play well, you won't be back. And that, right. and listen, I get the family stuff, and I've known Allen Hurns for a while. Really like him. Like what he does locally. He's a Carroll City High School guy, University of Miami guy. Still can't believe he didn't get drafted. Still, the number one shocker after having a great year at UM, how he didn't get drafted. He could run. He was fast. I was still, the league just whiffed on that one. And Jacksonville got themselves a really good player for a couple years. But at 28, I always worry, like, look at man, you take it's bad enough if you're out for a year injured, right. coming back, and now other guys get a chance to play for you. But it's another when you decide. And I don't think teams hold it against you. It's just that now you got Isaiah Ford and Jakeem Grant and a bunch of young dudes that one of them might step up and go, hey, man, that's going to be my job. I'm younger and cheaper. Here we go. And by the way, the tie, if it's close in talent, always goes to the cheaper, younger guy. Right. Always right. in the league. So, but I'm sure Allen Hurns took all this into consideration and before he made this. So, anyway, he opted out. And, again, they still have a lot of guys and everything. But, boy, that's a
little bit of a shocker, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I just I didn't see that coming. I understand. Right. Again, birth of a son.
Right.
His first son. So, you hear the comments. Not that they have to explain it to us. Like, some guys just scared to death of this stuff. I mean, we've right. seen it across this country, and people are still fighting back and forth. And we said something about wearing a mask, and every time we mention wear a mask and help us out here, we get called a way left show and all that stuff. And you're bringing politics into the show, and I'm like, we never mentioned politics.
Right, masks.
We just mentioned right. try the mask. Yeah, that's right. politics, the mask. What don't you understand? I go, you don't like my dolphin mask? I have six of them now. Okay. Anyway, hey, we got to go. We got to go to break here, man. We got a lot more. Yesterday, Peter King making some big news around the country. He was on with us talking about the Miami Dolphins. So we're gonna have Peter King. If you missed it yesterday, for you early birds, we're gonna have that coming up. What Peter King had to say about the Dolphins. He's a big believer. And then when we come back, we got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning. We'll have for you. So stay with us. We'll have that stuff coming up. All right, welcome back, and good morning to everybody out there. Peter King was on with us yesterday. We were talking a lot about the NFL, but also talking about the AFC East and the Miami Dolphins. So if you haven't heard, you might be surprised. Here's what Peter King had to say about the Dolphins.
The AFC is fascinating because you've got about four or five teams that nobody really knows about. I count Miami in there. Miami will be right at the top of the heap because Miami could win 10 games. You know, how many people, even in South Florida, know that after Halloween last year, the Dolphins had a better record than the Patriots? And so you got them. You've got I'm very bullish on Denver. I'm bullish on the Raiders. There's a bunch of teams in the AFC that fascinate me.
You know, Peter, I'm glad I wanted to follow up with that. So the COVID-19 camp, which means no preseason games, I guess the big question is, like you mentioned, Baltimore and Kansas City, they're pretty set at a lot of positions where Dolphins brought in so many new free agents in a big draft class. How long will it take them to catch up? How many games?
Normally, I would say this is a building year for the Dolphins. But I think, you know, one of the biggest surprises in football last year is that in November and December, the Miami Dolphins were not only a competitive team, they were a really good team. And this was after they made huge trades. I mean, you got to hand it to Chris Greer and Brian Flores, basically, because basically Chris Greer said, look, you know, we will take the draft windfall for Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills. We'll take that, you know, building for the long term. And we'll take the one for Minkah Fitzpatrick, who doesn't want to be here in this style of defense for him. So, I mean, they bit a bullet last year and knew that even the guys in their locker room and clearly fans were going to be really unhappy with what exactly they were doing, you know, but they knew, and Brian Flores knew. And the other thing is, look, I mean, to me, I think there have been a couple of quarterbacks, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Josh McCown, who rightfully so, you don't want to hand the franchise to for 15 years, but they're terminally underrated backup type guys. And you definitely can win games with them. And I think that's one of the things the Dolphins found last year. Now, to me, I think it all depends. Do you hand the team to Tua, you know, on September 10th, or September 13th, rather, in Foxborough? Do you give him a chance to sort of slide into the job over time because there's no preseason games here? You know, I don't know. I'll tell you what, guys, I would not want to make the decision based on the fact there's no preseason games for a very simple reason. Bill Belichick said it. Pete Carroll told me a couple of weeks ago. Look, there's no exhibition games in college football, and these guys play just fine. So, if Tua's ready, you play him. You know he's the quarterback of the future. So that's a judgment that, you know, obviously Flores and the offensive staff are going to have to make in early September.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation that we've been having down here, especially since Ryan Fitzpatrick's comments yesterday or the day before about just, you know, he knows that he's the quarterback now and he's going to be handing off to Tua at a certain point. It just is, the question is when. But without the preseason games and all that, can you hand it off to Tua that early and put him in week one? Can you think that's even a possibility in Brian Flores' mind right now?
I think the logic says no. Okay. But it's an odd time, and when you play for Nick Saban, you should walk into the NFL more pro ready. When you play for Nick Saban and play that huge schedule at Alabama, you should be more pro ready than almost everybody coming out of college football. So I just think this is one of those things. When these teams put on the pads starting on August 17th, you'll basically have, I think, say two and a half weeks to make the determination about whether he's ready. And you know what? There's no rush, because I would argue that especially against a New England team that is that really is going to be struggling to find its legs early. I don't even know who's going to. They might have three rookies starting on defense.
Right.
So, you know, you really want to give them this isn't like you're playing the old-time Patriots, really. But then, obviously, you know, I think I'm right. Home opener with Buffalo next. And that game, and again, look, you're going to play every game like it's a vitally important game and you want to win it. That game right there could be the difference between winning and losing the division, because I think, you know, basically, I think Miami and Buffalo right now, if I had to pick, I'd say it'll be Miami or Buffalo winning this division. And so the only thing you want to do in week two is put, you know, the quarterback in there absolutely that day. Forget about the future. That day gives you the best chance to win.
Peter, how have you liked Brian Flores now that we've had a chance to watch him for a year? What are your thoughts on the coach?
I mean, I don't know him well at all, but just mostly watching from afar and a couple of conversations, you can tell why Stephen Ross, Chris Greer, really liked him a lot, wanted him to be their guy, because he really commands respect when he walks into a room. And, you know, I've always thought that when we judge coaches, players, everything, we probably put them under a little bit of a difficult spotlight at times. We assume that because Brian Flores was with Bill Belichick for 14 years, that everything from Belichick is going to rub off on him and all that stuff. And what we learned last year is that Brian Flores is his own guy, and he's not just, quote, the heir of Belichick, end quote. You saw that a lot during the season. He had a lot of difficult decisions to navigate. You know, he's got to handle his own locker room early in the season after they make all those trades. So I think, I'm not saying I'm pleasantly surprised, because I'm not really, but I think his ability to keep that team intact in difficult circumstances last year was the thing that impressed me the most.
Peter King from NBC Sports talking about the Miami Dolphins, the AFC East. That's always good to hear. Whether you believe it or not, he thinks Miami or Buffalo is going to win that division. Miami could win 10 games. Always fun to hear that from someone. All right, 305-567-0560 is our text line if you want to get in and stay connected with us. Otherwise, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back right after this.
Hey, we're back. And a lot of sports on last night. If you guys had a chance to watch the early bird special with the Panthers, who had a lead in the second period and end up losing. They're now down 2-0 to the Islanders in a best-of-five series. 4-2 loss there. Heat looked great last night. Jimmy Butler was out, but it was no problem because everybody, I mean, you talk about Hero coming in and knocking down threes, Robinson knocking down not only threes, big threes, but just automatic free throws. And Bam had a big-time game. Olynyk, I mean, you can go on with all the guys that just seemed to really help out last night. Bam had 21 and 12. But they look great. They look great, man. And I know there's a lot of basketball, and this thing's going to go up and down. And they got a game against Milwaukee coming up tomorrow to play the top three teams. A little bit of a teaser here before these playoffs start. But, boy, I tell you, he's got – and Eric Spoelstra's got to be feeling really, really good about this group. And that thing at the top four in the East just looks – wide open. And I'm not going to come on and do the Hank Homer special this morning and say Heat's going to win it all. But, man, they got a chance. I thought maybe before it was like, yeah, I don't know, Milwaukee. But this thing, it looks like – and listen, Greek Freak's the best player of the four teams in the top four in the East. It's not even close. But, boy, it is a team sport, and this thing is going to be fun to watch, especially if – Hero and Robinson and Nunn and those guys can stay hot, knock down threes. Olynyk's been really good himself. So anyway, all that. And then, of course, last night late, what a great story. Marlins don't play for 8 days, been getting the crap beat out of them by everybody. And all they do is put together a team and get a 4-0 win last night against the Orioles. Pablo Lopez, 5 innings, 7 strikeouts, gives up a couple of hits, but no runs, obviously. And they hit a couple of home runs. How's that for having 8 days basically off where you can't really do much and beat the Orioles, who have a winning record right now? They're a little bit of a surprise, too, but just a heck of a story. And they got to be fired up because everything about that team, even critiquing what Derek Jeter said and people ripping him and, you know, getting on him about his team and, like, you know, that stuff he came out with, you don't talk for 8 days and now you're telling us the first question out should be about how healthy my players are. Right. Like, why didn't you talk 5 or 6 days ago if you're so worried about the health of your players and now you're talking about it? So all that stuff. But you know what? Got past it last night. Got a win. They'll be getting a lot of those guys back. A lot of their best players are the guys that had a positive test on the coronavirus. So a lot of stuff last night. Just a really crazy, all different stories last night. But it was good to see all three of our local teams back in action to have something to talk about, whether you were an early bird special or you did the late night movie special last night. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I just thought it was a good day for everyone but the Panthers. I just think the Panthers are just right now just the worst. Like, it's a worst story because they finally had a chance to get back in it. They get in the play in for the playoff, and they're just, you know, they tease you 2-1 lead, and then all of a sudden, boom, three goals, and you're just like, ugh. And now you get another one today, and it's over today if they lose. So it's just like, it's like a fart in the wind if they end up losing today.
They look great to start with, man. They came out, they were like, wow, energy picked up. They're getting some chances. And just, I mean, they got the one goal finally, but it was like, damn, you just felt like, you know.
They started fast, like we said they needed to. But, they got outplayed again. And I don't know what's wrong with that team. But they're out there. I mean, this is a chance of a lifetime for these guys to sneak into the playoffs, and they shouldn't have even been in there. And I just, it seemed like a lack of effort almost out there.
Well, it's not. See,
unless they're just that much worse than the Islanders, I don't know. But that was just an incredibly disappointing game yesterday for the Panthers in a must-win situation. It just didn't feel like they left it all out there.
Right. I get it, but the lack of effort, I don't think it's that. I think it gets in your head, like, here we go again. These guys do this to us every time. I think something goes off in the brain. They have lost a little something with their confidence, no matter what they say, or maybe they look at their team and go, we're just that system the Islanders always run. But I you know, I'm always careful, and you know, I've never been able to figure, and he goes, our team's got to play harder. I've heard now like 17 Panther coaches go, we just have to play harder. And I'm like,
right,
man, I'm kind of watching, like, do you ever really see a hockey team dogging it up and down on those short time they're out there for ice time? I never see it like, no, they got to play harder. We you know, we got to get in the corner. I'm like,
when you get called for eight penalties, I mean, that just means you're playing a step slow,
right? Goldie said it on the broadcast.
Yeah. It was a sloppy game yesterday. There were plays, you know, a lot of those slash plays and all that other stuff. It's avoidable stuff. They're just really disappointing, man.
Well, every time a penalty was called, Goldie would say, "Up, they're shooting themselves in the foot again. Up, they're shooting themselves in the foot again."
Yeah, I mean, you could hear it in Goldie's voice, the disappointment. Right. I mean,
Listen,
just been so long for that team, and they had such a golden opportunity here to at least make this thing interesting.
Let me tell you something about Gold. Like, Gold tells it for a play-by-play guy. Gold tells it like it is, man. Like, Gold doesn't hold back to the point you almost wonder if he ever gets called into the principal's office. Like, he says when he's frustrated, he goes, you know, here we go again. This is, you know, and kind of guys sitting next to him are like, wow, okay. So he gets after. But listen,
he's our new Tommy Hutton. That's who he is. That's who Goldie is.
Except Goldie's the play-by-play guy, not the color analyst. A little different situation, Zach. Come on, man. I just look at this situation. They went out and paid all this money to get a goalie,
right?
And all this money to get a coach. Two guys.
Same story.
And it just comes right back to even being in this situation and then coming back. And it's like same Islanders, same Panthers.
Same Panthers, right?
So now they got to
win
3 in a row.
What do you do, though, if you're the Panthers? I mean, you brought in Dale Tallon 10 years ago. You brought in Joel Quenneville. But, like, I don't know what else they do. They've had all these young players that they've tried to lock up. What else do the Panthers as a franchise do?
So they don't get enough out of their young best players. They don't get enough.
We've been hearing
for
10 years, though. Like,
and they're no longer young players. They're no longer 21, 22, 23. Like, they've grown up. They've got a lot of years, a lot of experience. So that's frustrating. Everybody said the new coach, a guy they could all respect, and they'll play their ass off for this guy because of, hey, usually a guy's got a real impressive resume, you play your ass off for him, man. You just do. Whether you like what he says or not, you take it and you just bite your tongue and you go out and do what he says because you know he knows what he's doing because he's won Stanley Cups. And there is just, I don't know if this overall roster's just still weak sauce, but I've always said this, man, in these playoffs, when they get rolling, your best players have to be at their best.
Absolutely.
And I know it's team sports, but your best players, like Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard last year, like your best players on your team, if you're going to win, they're going to be the story. It ain't going to be the guys on the third or fourth line going, look at that guy, our MVP. I mean, it needs to be your best
players. Your best players need to be your best players in the most opportune time, and that's what it is here. It's the same thing with when you talk about Lamar Jackson talking about Pat Mahomes and I got to get there, and when LeBron was here with the Heat and they would lose in the finals, it was all on LeBron, and if Kawhi has a big series, you know he's going to be MVP. Like, that's what you need, and you're not getting that here. You're just not getting that from our guys here.
So,
I mean, I don't even know what it's like to be in the second round of the NHL playoffs. You have to go back to when they got to the Stanley Cup
96,
Finals in 96,
right?
It's 2020.
But I just don't know what they do. Like, they brought in Dale Talon, who we thought was going to be the guy to fix everything. Then they've had a rotating door of coaches, and you finally end up with Joel Quenneville, who you think is the guy as well. You spend all that money on a goalie, and I don't know what they do, like where they go from here.
Well, I got news for you. You can't get rid of a lot of those guys.
No,
So,
they're not a playoff team as constructed right now. I think that's obvious, right? They wouldn't have made the playoffs had the season of just ended regularly.
I agree with that.
And they don't look like a playoff team right now in a qualifier series, do they?
No. They look bad when this one exhibition game, you're like, holy smokes, man. Good God. Tampa Bay just. And you're like, well, you know, Islanders, that was a wake-up call. We did the wake-up call. I'm used to all these things now. You had the one game, like, well, it was a wake-up call. Now they know what they have to do. And here they are, just not – I mean, you got some great disappearing acts. You just have if you wouldn't know, because everybody told you who the best players were, and we keep hearing this guy and that guy, you would never know with that group right now. You would never know. I'm dying to see who they put in goal tonight or today. I'm curious. Who's going to be in goal?
You have to live or die with Bobrovsky, don't you?
I don't know.
Right.
I mean, you should.
If Bobrovsky's not in there today, that says a lot about how they feel about him, don't you think? In a game where you're going to be eliminated,
man.
Possibly?
Did you see it kind of during the regular season?
Yes, of course I did. But now we're in our second part of the season, right?
I mean, it would be nice if they could find some way to win this game today and you know, just play a little better overall and maybe put a tad bit of pressure in the minds of the Islanders, who I imagine are not feeling much right now.
Well, it's hard when you're down 2-0 and you had the lead. And, I mean, those are crushing. That one last night, I mean, 1-0 or yesterday, 1-0, 2-1. And
you just keep taking bad penalties the entire game. That's what's going to happen, though.
Yeah,
you played the Islanders 6 times this year. You haven't won once.
Yeah. Well, listen, we got a lot of other stories besides that one, but that was a downer.
Yeah, if you can't tell, I'm very upset about this Panther situation.
It just stinks.
This was our year, man. We had the little layoff and everything. This was our year.
Got snuck into the playoffs or the play-in.
We'll get them next year.
Right.
Well, they were lucky. They were lucky they went 24 teams, and we wouldn't even be having this discussion, and people would be really pissed off, really, really upset. Hey, by the way, a bunch of other stuff going on here. We wanted to get caught up on whatever you may be watching or following, but college football is kind of becoming a story here. And by the way, they are all over the board. Don't believe that Division I college football, everybody's looking out for number one, starting with the Power Five conferences. All the Division I schools outside of the Power Five are scrambling to put games together right now. So everybody is just totally looking at their own situation, their own money, and all that. Now we got college players who are expected to go in the first round. We could officially, by the way, have a third one joining the group. It could happen with Caleb Farley, who's already in, Rashad Bateman, Minnesota wide receiver, Micah Parsons, the Penn State linebacker, who is a big, big horse for anybody that watches a lot of college football and watches Penn State. This guy is a big, big-time player. he's looking like he's going to opt out. That would be the third guy. And, boy, it just makes you wonder if these guys have any hiccups and a guy's out there and he knows he's really good and he sees coronavirus positive test around and you skip a game or two and he realizes this thing's not really going anywhere because they don't have opt-out dates. They can opt out anytime they want in college football.
Right, right.
How many over the next month or two, as you kind of watch to see how your team's going and how good it's going to be and how many delays you have because of the coronavirus, it could be outside of teams that are gonna, outside of the teams are going to be able to stay around and have a chance to win a national championship if they can get to that. We could see an amazing amount of top players skip their last year and start getting ready for the draft and give this chance, this hopefully we'll have this thing under control next year. And guys just saying, I'm going to take a chance on it. I'm going to go for it. I'm sure they've had people, agents, call teams to find out how do you feel about this with guys doing it with the uncertainty that we have right now with college football. I mean, you talk about a great excuse. First of all, not covered, no money coming in, and you get this stuff, and you don't know how it's going to affect you. And then second of all, you don't know, you're looking at your testing, and these kids are smart, and if your program's not going to be nearly as good because you don't have the money the NFL does.
Right.
There are going to be a lot of kids. I got to stop calling them kids. There's going to be a lot.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of football players that know they already have a pretty good idea where they go in the draft. Some of the guys in the first round may go to the second round, but they got a pretty good idea where they fit into the big picture.
Right.
We could start to see, especially now that we've seen three. This thing could grow real quickly, so we'll see what happens. But man, I just thought following this now right. with Parsons potentially being the third guy, the Penn State linebacker, boy,
another guy that's a high, you know, has a high grade when it comes to the draft coming up. You know, a potential first round pick. I just wonder how many more guys are going to see what's going on. Like you said, see the uncertainty about testing and what's going on with the season, and just say I could go work out. They have tape on me already. You know, like there is tape on me already, and there's great tape on Micah Parsons from his. I mean, he was a 2019 Big Ten linebacker of the year, so I'm sure he's got plenty of good tape. And then if there's some sort of combine or whatever the case may be, or you know, local combine, that's what they're going to. I mean, I just don't know. I think you nailed it on the head. If your team might not be a national championship contender, and you might be a first round pick or a second round pick, what do you do? It stinks. It's going to kill college football to a point.
So,
I mean,
I think a lot of these guys are going to kind of keep working out with their buddies, keep doing the thing, you know, stay. Food's good, you know, all that stuff.
Right.
See what the program is. See, you got some games you're looking forward to playing. See if there's any delays that come up. Hey, we're not going to be able to play this week. Going to have to play. And looks like we're going to try to play it, you know, and all those things that could pop up.
Right.
And see how those top guys, we're going to have people in their ear. You got family in your ear. You got other people in your ear talking about, hey, if you want to do this, I'm here for you. Love to take care of you.
Right,
so
right.
All that stuff could pop up here.
I'm still all for pushing this season back, by the way. I mean, it's August 5th. We're supposed to start in, a month? And we have conferences talking about they don't even know what their schedule is.
I saw the SEC's moved it back to the end of September.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's starting at a different date.
Well, that makes just,
I mean,
why in the
no
hell,
sense, right? No sense.
Everybody's dealing with the same stuff. I mean, it might be worse down here than some other places, but like, why isn't everybody starting the same time? Especially the Power Five conferences. Even if the Power Five's flipping everybody else in Division I football, why aren't they all starting at the same time? Why isn't everybody starting at the same time? I don't care who they play. If they all just going to play a heavy dose of conference games, actually, I kind of like it. And I got no problem with that. If that's going to get rid of some of the other teams you play and you're just going to play a heavier dose. And, of course, Miami picks up Clemson. Let's do it, man. Let's go for it.
But doesn't it take more than 4 to 6 weeks to put all this together in reality here? Like, I saw the American is still figuring out their schedules. Like, they don't even know what they're doing as a league yet. Doesn't it take more than a month to figure all that out?
Everyone is shuffling, trying to figure it out.
The Power Five conferences, I'll say it again, Woody, they don't care about the other guys.
No.
They don't care about the other 70 or 80 schools that are outside of the Power Five. If you ain't a Power Five, you ain't sharing a big check with us. Kiss my aunt. Sorry that we're not going to be able to pay you and take you off the schedule, and we're not going to cut you that check for $2 million, $1.5 million, $750,000. Right. I'm sorry. But that's the new rules, man. Maybe we'll catch up to you when things get back to normal. Hang in there. Go on the cheap and try to get through some games.
But you got to go further than that, Joe. It's not like they don't care just about the other schools outside the Power Five. They don't care about the Power Five in general. If they're not all starting on the same time or on the same calendar or whatever, how are they going to do? How are they going to do a Final Four? How are they going to do a playoff system when one team has been done for 3 weeks or one team still has two more games left in 2 weeks? Like, someone needs to have a conference call, those five guys, and say, why don't we just come up with a date where we all start so we all can get to the bowl games? And, you know, like, it's just so
stupid.
They're
going to get there. And Zach,
right, but they're all going to be off calendar.
We're not playing those bowl games this year, right?
I don't think college football wants to start
without the bowl. Like the mac and cheese bowl over at the
Park
and all that.
I'm talking about the Final Four.
No, mac and cheese. Mac and cheese with Boar's Head hot dogs in the middle. They're in trouble. But the big one that pays all that money.
Right. That's down here, by the way. Yeah.
The Big Four is going to happen. Damn short of, like, all these teams dying. They're going to definitely have that coming up. All right. Hey, we got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning. Stay with us. We'll jump into 7 o'clock hour. If you want to join us, 305-567-0560 on this mess called college football. But it really isn't a mess because every conference is worried about one thing, all that money coming in from their own conference and splitting that money up. That's what they care about. Hey, I'll tell you what, who cares about everybody? And it's fun to talk about Miami Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Institute. One of the top sports medicine programs. I call it Doctor's Hospital in Coral Gables. One of the top sports medicine programs in the country. Fantastic facility in Coral Gables. But it's those doctors who really make it happen. They have recruited and put together some of the top surgeons, some of the top specialists in the United States. Hey, it's not real hard to recruit them to live in South Florida. But listen, when people ask me, it happens almost every day, Joe, where do the pros go when they get injured? I tell them, let me just start. Enter Miami. They go to Doctor's Hospital. Heat, the Panthers and the Dolphins. Man, they got these doctors. Hey, you talk about great experience and success rate and proper rehab and getting you back out playing the sports you love the most. That's what it's all about. Whether you're my age or you've got grandkids or kids, you want them all to get healthy and be able to get back out playing the sports they love the most. We're lucky. We got one of the top sports medicine programs, one of the top 50 best orthopedic hospitals in the nation. That was voted by U.S. News and World Report. They're damn good at what they do, and they're going to take good care of you. Hey, all you have to do is visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to make an appointment today to see those same doctors who work on high school, college, and professional athletes every day.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.